Praise God. Didn't know whether we were going to get to this point or not again today. We've got there. Praise God. Well, I was set to speak last week, but things went a bit different last week. We know that Mother's Day was last week, and the theme I had then was Mother's Day, and it is today. The same theme. I was looking at the book of Ruth, but I was looking at Naomi rather than Ruth. So I want to share some thoughts on that. But before I do, I came across something. Often I keep things in my Bible, I don't throw them away. I get into trouble for not throwing things away. But this I wrote in April 19, and it's just about spring. I think spring is a wonderful time of year. You'd notice probably back in February we got the snowdrops, then we got the daffodils, then we got the crocuses, now we got the primroses, and everything comes alive. The grass verges that you drive past in winter, they're all filthy dirty, have nice fresh green coming through. Everything seems to be renewed. So I put the word renew on here, and I put, I love spring. And then I put just some verses. And it's to do with renewal, it's to do with spring. First one was Psalm 51, verse 10. And he actually followed David's sin when he wrote this. He put, renew a steadfast spirit. Amen. Renew a steadfast spirit. It's talking about renewal. Not talking about condemnation. No. Talking about renewal. And David had sinned, but it was renewal he was talking about. Psalm 103, verse 5. Youth is renewed like the eagles. Amen. Now, the older you get, the more you claim that. Youth is renewed like the eagles. Now, in Lamentations chapter 3, verse 23, it was talking about restoration. The Lord's mercies are new every morning. The Lord's mercies are new every... Then you never use them up, because every morning they're renewed anyway. Amen. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 16. Our inner man is being renewed day by day. Isaiah 40, verse 31. They that wait on the Lord shall renew their strength. See, these are renewal, refreshing, restoration. And this is the time of year, springtime, reminds us about that. In Ephesians chapter 4, verse 23, be renewed in the spirit of your mind and put on the new man. Amen. Praise God. Or the new self was the other verse. But these are things that, you know, if you do a study sometimes, and you know, God takes us on journeys sometimes in His Word. Write things down. And if you're like me, I said this is April 19, but it's as fresh today as it was then. So praise God. So if you've got your Bibles and you want to turn to the book of Ruth, it comes just after Judges. It's not the easiest book to find because it's only a little book. But if you look for Judges, which is a big book, and just go to the end of that, you'll find Ruth. Now, talking about renewal, Naomi, who's the mother-in-law of Ruth, she had renewal in her life. Now, she lost much. We'll look at what she lost. But she gained more, and she had a new beginning. And she set off as a mother-in-law, became a mother in spirit, and we'll follow that through as well. You know, she, in a way, she was a little bit like Job. She lost family, and she went through the pain of all that, but she gained some renewal, we'll find out. Now, I say last week was Mother's Day, and I know not all women become natural mothers, but not all who mother are natural mothers. I'll explain that in a bit more as we go. And not all those who are mothered by their natural birth mothers. They have a spiritual mother. And we don't always recognize and realize that. So we're going to look a little bit through the book of Ruth. Now I think that it's inadequately named Ruth because Naomi plays such an important part in the book of Ruth. Naomi lived in Bethlehem, in Judah. It's surprising how much of history takes place round about Bethlehem. He found that Jacob buried Rachel in and around Bethlehem. It's only a few miles from Jerusalem. David was anointed king in Bethlehem. So there's so much around that place. But Ruth lived in Bethlehem and she was married to Elimelech. And they had two children, two children who were boys, Mahlon and Chilion. And they had a famine in Bethlehem, so she decided she was going to move to Moab. Now, if you read Ruth chapter 1, verse 1, it tells you there was a famine in the land. And a certain man of Bethlehem in Judah went to sojourn in the land of Moab with his wife and his two sons. So that's Elimelech, Naomi, Mahlon and Chilion. They've moved. Moab is sort of to the east of where Bethlehem and Jerusalem were. But they had a different, it was a different nation. They didn't follow God, they followed gods rather than following the real God. So they went to Moab and they stayed there. Now, the sons found wives from Moab. They didn't find the wives from their own nation around Bethlehem. They went, when they were in Moab, they found the wives there. So Mahlon found someone called Ruth, and Chilion, he found someone called Orpah. And they married those and lived in the land of Moab, and they stayed there for about 10 years. But during that period, Elimelech, Naomi's husband, died. And then her two sons died. I can imagine how she must have felt. There she's a widow. The male ones are the ones that are normally the breadwinners. And they died. So she didn't know what to do, but she decided she would go back to Bethlehem. She heard that things were better in Bethlehem now, so she was going to go home. So then the question arose as to what was going to happen to daughter-in-laws, because they weren't the daughters, they were daughter-in-law. Now that's an interesting term, that, because she was a mother-in-law. Now we know, if you look in the Old Testament about law, laws are rules and regulations, and the law was that she was mother by law to Orpah and Ruth. But there's a transition takes place, and now I want to try and bring that out to you as we go through. Both these two women were Moabites. They weren't from the house of Judah. They didn't belong to Bethlehem. They'd never been to Bethlehem. They'd been born and brought up in Moab. So Naomi decides she's going to go back to Bethlehem. So in Ruth chapter 1 verse 6 it says, "And Naomi said to her two daughters-in-law, 'Go, return each of you to her mother's house.'" She's sending them back to their natural mother. Back in Moab to her natural mother. "May the Lord deal kindly with you as you have dealt with the dead with me." So she's releasing them to go back to their natural, where they came from. She realizes that things are bad for her in the natural. And in verse 13, at the end of that verse, she says, "The hand of the Lord has gone forth against me." That's all she can think. She's lost her husband, she's lost her two sons. And she's thinking the hand of the Lord is against her. And it couldn't have been farther from the truth as she looks further into the future. So Orpha, she decides that she's going to go back to her natural family. In verse 15 it says she's gone back to her people and her gods. Now if you look at your Bible there, and it says capital G for gods normally, for God. In this it's a small g. It means their gods that they worshipped in Moab, not the real God. So she was going back to that, to her own nation, to her own gods. But Ruth felt differently. Ruth decided, in verse 16 it says, "But Ruth said, 'Do not urge me to leave or turn back from following you. For where you go, I will go. And where you lodge, I will lodge. Your people shall be my people, and your God, my God.'" Capital G. Your God, my God. Something had happened to the relationship of Naomi and Ruth for Ruth to make that decision. Naomi was by law mother-in-law. But I believe that she became, through the relationship they'd had over the years, she became a spiritual mother to Ruth. And they bonded in such a way that Ruth was prepared to turn her back on her natural history and surroundings and go with Naomi to Bethlehem. And she made that decision. It says in verse 19, it says, "So they both went until they came to Bethlehem." Now this is Ruth coming into somewhere she's never been before. The only person she knows is Naomi. That's it, full stop. Naomi is going back in such a difficult state. And Naomi started calling herself Mara. And Mara means bitter, bitterness. That's how she felt. That's what all that had happened to her. You imagine how she must have felt. She's lost her natural family. Or she's got Ruth, but she's lost everything. She's a widow, she can't support herself as a widow. And she's going back to where she came from, but she's going back full of grief. But what she didn't realize, that she was going back to the right place. Because we'll cover this later on, but just bearing in mind that Ruth is going to have a son who's going to have another son who's called King David. So Ruth is instigating where they go and what they do. This was why I'm saying that, Naomi is instigating where they go and what they do. So this book is as much about Naomi as it is Ruth. And for us, it's important that Naomi was there doing what she was doing. So they go back to Bethlehem. How are they going to survive? Well, it's the time of harvest. So Ruth decides that she'll go and glean in the fields, which is the grain that falls when the harvest is, the stuff that's left. She's going to pick them up. And that's going to be their food source. Ruth's going to decide she's going to do that, and she's going to get enough grain for them both to be able to survive. So she goes into the field. Now, there's one person that Naomi knows, a close relative, called Boaz, who she knew before she went. But I don't know that she said anything to Ruth about this. Anyway, Ruth goes to one of the fields to glean, to get to the other end. It says in chapter 2, verse 3, it says, she happened to come to the portion of the field belonging to Boaz. Now, she came to that portion of field. She says, she happened to come. No, this was a God appointment. Because you think of all the fields owned by different ones, and she happened to come to the portion of the field belonging to Boaz. And Boaz was but just about the closest relative of Naomi. So when she comes in and she starts gleaning, Boaz sees her, because Boaz is a rich guy. He's got servants, he's got land, but he's also the son of Rahab. Rahab was the prostitute in Jericho that hid the spies. So there's a tainted history, but anyway, Boaz, he's getting on well, servants, and he's picking the harvest. And he sees Ruth there and asks his servant in chapter 2, verse 5, then Boaz said to his servant who was in charge of the reapers, whose young woman is this? So he's curious. She's seen her. He didn't know who she was, and she didn't know who he was. So he throws a protection around Ruth. He realizes who she is, so he offers a protection. Stay in my fields, we'll look after you. The servants will have you get drink the water from the servants' supply, and stay with my maidens, she said, and you will be protected, you'll be safe. So that's what she does. And in verse 9, we'll just read that. It says, let your eyes be on the field which they reap, and go after them. Indeed, I have commanded the servants not to touch you. When you are thirsty, go to the water jars and drink from where the servants draw. Then she fell on her face, bowing to the ground, and said to him, why have I found favor in your sight, that you should take notice of me, since I am a foreigner? And Boaz has heard something. Verse 11, he says, and Boaz answered and said to her, all that you have done for your mother-in-law after the death of your husband has been fully reported to me. You see, the good that we do doesn't just die. The good that we do does live on. In very way, in subtle ways, some ways we might never see. But the good does live on. And Boaz has heard how Ruth has acted and related concerning her mother-in-law Naomi. But you can see that the way Naomi is looking after Ruth and things are happening is the Naomi-Ruth relationship is very much mother and daughter, not mother-in-law and daughter-in-law. It's very much a spiritual bond now. And Ruth is surprised at the reaction she's getting from Moab, because Boaz, because she's come from Moab. She's a foreigner. She doesn't expect to be dealt kindly or anything. In fact, at the end of verse 13 on chapter 2, it says, "Though I am not like one of your maidservants," he's treating her so kindly and so generously. But she said, "I'm not like one of your maidservants. I'm a stranger. I don't belong in the natural here." But he's sought to protect her because he knows. Well, we find out that Boaz is the second in line as a redeemer. Now we've heard that word redeemer. Our Lord's our redeemer. What does it mean? What does it mean? Well, because Naomi's husband had died, and they've come now to their family, their natural family in Bethlehem. And Boaz is the second in line as a redeemer, which means that they take on the responsibility, they take the ownership of the property, but they take the responsibility of the relatives. So Boaz has to go and seek out the other redeemer or eligible redeemer. But before that happens, Naomi gives some instruction to Ruth towards how to react to Boaz. So he says, he advises her, tells her to go. He's going to be doing some work with the grain inside the grain house. And he's going to be there all night. So she advises, she sends Ruth to go and lay at his feet in the night. So he wakes up during the night and sees her there and finds out that she's gone and done that. And he acts honourably with her. And she has already shown her own character through, because so he's heard about all that's happened. So she's now laying at his feet. And from that, then Boaz then decides that he would take on the responsibility of her and the family, and also take on the future of that family. So she then turns, she goes back to Naomi and reports all this, and Naomi says, he will sort things out. Within a day, he'll sort things out. So Boaz seeks out the other potential redeemer. Now, if you look at chapter 4, verse 1, it says, "Now Boaz went up to the gate and sat down there. And behold, the close relative of Boaz spoke, of which Boaz spoke, was passing by. So he said, 'Turn aside, friend, sit down here.' And he turned aside and sat down." And then he asked this other one, this other potential redeemer, if he would redeem the ownership of everything.
And he says, yeah, I'll redeem it. But then when he found out that part of the redeeming was to take on Ruth, he says, oh, no, I can't do that. It might affect my own inheritance. So then Boaz says that he would take on the responsibility. And he said, if you read chapter 4, verse 6, he says, and the closest relative said, I cannot redeem it for myself, lest I jeopardize my own inheritance. Redeem it for yourself. You may have my right of redemption. So Boaz makes the deal with this man that he will take on the redemption of Naomi and Ruth. And when you read that verse 6, the right of redemption, Jesus has given us the right of redemption.
Amen.
We haven't earned it, but we have gained it by coming into the family. Jesus has taken us into his family. And he has given us the right of redemption. Because he's paid all our debts. He's taken ownership of us. And our future is in him. And Naomi, after all this, had sought the best for Ruth. He'd sought out security from her, for her. If you just nip back to the first verse in chapter 3, it says, then Naomi, her mother-in-law, said to her, to Ruth, my daughter, shall I not seek security for you? And that's what she's been doing all along, is seeking a secure future for Ruth. The wonderful thing about this for Naomi is when you get to the end of chapter 4, I'll read from verse 14, because Naomi gets a wonderful blessing out of this. She's gone through so much, losing her husband and her sons, having to come back from Moab to Bethlehem with literally nothing except Ruth and her. But when we get to chapter 4, chapter 4, verse 14 out. In fact, we'll start at verse 13. It says, so Boaz took Ruth, and she became his wife, and he went into her, and the Lord enabled her to conceive, and she gave birth to a son. Then the women said to Naomi, blessed is the Lord, who has not left you without a redeemer today, and may his name become famous in history, in Israel. May he also be to you a restorer of life. We have a redeemer that is a restorer of life, and a sustainer of your old age. Yet he's sustained in old age. For your daughter-in-law, who loves you and is better to you than seven sons, has given birth to him. That's the birth. Boaz and Ruth have a son. It says, then Naomi took the child and laid him in her lap and became his nurse. So Naomi, after all that had happened, all that had seemingly gone wrong, comes into the perfect place. Because it says, verse 17, and the neighbor women gave him a name, saying, a son has been born to Naomi. So they named him Obed. He is the father of Jesse, the father of David. So from that, all that came David, the lineage that was going to take him to Jesus. When Naomi left Boaz to come back to Bethlehem, she wanted to be called Mara, bitter. Not surprisingly, what has happened to her? Losing a husband and her two sons. But God's put her in the perfect place. He has given her not only a son, but a lineage to our Saviour to bring him right through to Jesus. You know, and the way it happened, you couldn't have written a story like that. Something happens like that. But you see, Naomi was a mother-in-law, legally a mother to Ruth. But she became much more than that. He doesn't tell you about how the relationship between them transpired at the time that, from the time she came into their lives up to then, but it tells you from Boaz's point of view that she had a very good reputation, Ruth, and so did Naomi. And the question now is, you may not be a mother in the natural, you may not have a mother in the natural, but there are spiritual mothers. You might be a spiritual mother and not really realize it. And you know, I got thinking about this. Now, someone, and she probably not particularly want me to say this, but over the years, I've heard someone who's given advice and would never class herself as a mother. She was a teacher, and often the children would come to her as they would to a mother for advice. And she could relate to them and she could give them the right advice. She was, for that time, she was a mother to them. And she, you know, if you ask her if she was ever a mother, no, not me. But yes, she was a spiritual mother to those kids. And some of those kids had a rough upbringing. But God blessed her with some wisdom into those situations. There's another one we have in the church that hasn't had children in the natural, but is very much a spiritual mother. And I don't mind telling you who that is, and that's Grace. You'll agree that she's been a spiritual mother to a lot through the church. But you see, we often don't realise, we don't put that title to it because we don't picture it like that. But you may well have been a spiritual mother in situations and to people and not realised it. And you may have connected with someone who is a spiritual mother. And you've become a daughter to them. You see, in Ruth, at the end of the book of Ruth, Naomi, her life becomes complete. Where you wouldn't have thought it could have happened. But God blessed her, not only blessed her, blessed the whole future of mankind in taking through. When you look back at the history lineage, and you look at I forgot her name now. Who's the harlot? Rahab. Who was a prostitute? But she'd hidden the spies that went to seek out the place, and she protected them. And she changed, but it's in the history lineage of Jesus. It's in their history, and they, she was outside, like Moab was outside of Judah, the Israel history. It was a different nation coming in. So it's a mixed race nation. But it brought it to the future that God had planned. And she planned it with Naomi and Ruth. But it's only a short book, and we can concentrate on Ruth and miss, you know, Naomi. But Naomi was pivotal in guiding Ruth into the right, and having the right relationship with Ruth and the right motivation to bring things to a good conclusion. And in the natural, Naomi did well. She was the one that nursed the baby that came. So God blessed her, and God blessed the whole family. So if you're thinking that you're not a mother, or you've never been mothered, think again, because we don't put that title on it. And when you think about mother-in-law, I mean, if you go back to my generation and the comedians that used to be there, mother-in-laws were the brunt of all the jokes. But you see, mother-in-law is one thing. Be a spiritual mother is another thing again. So we all have potential. And it's not only mothers, fathers. You can be a spiritual father. Or you can be a spiritual son to someone who's. So open your mind and open your hearts to what God's got for us in terms of our relationships, which we often don't consciously think about. They just happen sometimes. You know that you know. If you can go to somebody, why can't you go to them? You might not be able to go to your natural parents, but you go to them. There's something there. And the same when someone comes to you for advice, you're the spiritual mother. They look at you and think, yeah, I can come to you. And that's how God works. He said he wants his people in families. Even if you live on your own, he wants you in his family. Because the family, regardless of what the world's trying to do to families structures today, God wants you in the family. And that's his love and his purpose for each one of us. So I hope you've been encouraged with that this afternoon. Amen. Praise God.